You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Mr. Larry Smith, Chief Executive Officer of G5 Cultivation, the first ever licensed cannabis cultivation in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mr. Smith, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Good to have you with us. So for starters, I guess the best place to start, tell us all about and give us some details on your entrepreneurial journey to kick things off today.
Well, my journey started, as typical most entrepreneurs, at a very early age, doing very simple things, cutting the grass, going through my neighborhood, seeing the lawnmower in the backyard, sitting there and grabbing it and going through each house in my neighborhood, and pretty much saying, hey, for $5, I can come in and cut the grass. And I started off that way and just started to understand that, coming from the neighborhood I grew up in, I wasn't, we weren't necessarily poor, but we didn't have the best of things. So I had to make do, growing up, single family, my grandmother raised me. And I just knew I had to take those chances and those risks, and I started off very early doing those type of things, and it just something that I feel like it was almost instilled in me. You start doing those things, cutting the grass, and it's almost an addictive type of thing too. Working for yourself, figuring out that I can cut a grass and then be able to stop when I want to, and then if I didn't want to cut anything for the next day, I didn't have to, and having money in my pocket at such an early age, at 10, 11, 12 years old.
If you would, share how you ventured into an emerging industry, the cannabis medical marijuana industry.
Well, I personally didn't have anything to do with the cannabis side, and I was actually in New York City, and I was with a good friend of mine, Jack Thriller. He's one of the hosts over at thisis50.com, which is 50 Cent's website, and we were in 50's office, and I received a call from a good friend of mine, Dedrick Coleman, who basically told me back home in Vegas that they were, getting ready to start the cannabis program, the medical marijuana program. And I was like, okay, why are you calling me? I have other businesses that we have, and he thought, well, I think you're a good candidate. I think you would be good, and I think you could represent, and I'm like, well, I don't know that much. And he's like, look, well, I know a little bit, and I can probably help you. I can consult with you and help you get going. And I knew the FBI, the feds weren't really too happy about cannabis, and so I just told them, let me get back to Vegas and let me sort some things out and talk to some people. I have a bunch of attorney friends, and I basically went to those people and said, hey, what are you guys' thoughts and what are you guys doing? What do you think about this? And two of them were like, hey, I'm getting in the industry. And that kind of sparked my attention because these are pretty smart guys. And then for me, I try to do things that I'm inspired by, not just on a financial gain. So I decided to take a trip to the Bay Area, Northern California, and I wanted to do some research. So before I even gathered anything, I started doing the research. I wanted to understand more about the plant and get more involved. And, I know there's a financial side to it that everyone, craves about and talks about the massive gains. And growing up in the hood, I've seen guys that before it was made recreational or illegal here in Vegas that prospered by selling cannabis. And I might as well take a stab at it. And I went ahead and got some information, met some people who were a part of the industry that really gave me really insight of what the medicine, what it truly does for people. And, having a grandmother that passed away from cancer and watching her, kind of suffer a little bit, kind of brought back those memories. And it was like she was tapping me on the shoulder going, hey, listen, it probably wouldn't have saved my life, but it would have gave me a better quality of life. And, as you meet those people, you understand that this isn't just about the stoner getting high. For me, it isn't. It became more of a, well, you know, maybe we can change the world. Maybe we can do some things that are going to help people in their quest. You know, with cancer being, you know, one of the number one killers amongst people nowadays, you know, I wanted to just make a difference. And I decided the more I got into it, the more research I did, the more I felt like I've been lied to by our government, made me realize that, you know, this is something that, you know, we can do and we can help people. And like I said, even if we don't save anyone's life with cannabis, maybe we can help have a better quality of life.
And thanks for sharing that. Now, I understand that you've experienced significant growth. If you would, have you hit any roadblocks with your growth and expansion?
Well, you know, so the biggest thing for us is that, you know, growing cannabis is, you know, we decided to go a different route than most people. There were a lot of people in Vegas who had buildings that they already had built, you know, they were already constructed, they were ready to go. And I just didn't want to go that route. Like, once again, like I said, I take this is very serious for me. And I wanted this plant to be the best plant that we can possibly create. And I just thought, you know, Vegas is old, you know, we have a lot of buildings that are already withstanding, so they're older, and I know they're going to have a lot of issues. And I wanted to make sure that we started from the very beginning. So one of the biggest problems for us and the biggest setback is by having new construction, where I am, some of the, you know, it's an older area, and it's not all the way up to date, you know, like some of the newer places in Vegas. And so some of the things have taken us quite a time, you know, quite some time to get up and going as far as like the electrical, the Nevada Power, you know, as good as they are, you know, they were really slow. And then you have all these permits that we had to go through. So that's been our biggest challenge, but it's also been our biggest blessing because, you know, we're just getting up, we're just getting started. So we missed a lot of the problems so far, you know, as far as, you know, the early start program, you know, July, Nevada is supposed to kick off for recreational. So we kind of missed all the medicinal stuff with there being only 26,000 patients. It's kind of worked out to our favor. So, you know, what I really wanted to do was take my time and do this building the correct way, because once again, it's not just a gold rush for us. It's really providing good medicine, good clean medicine for people out there who really need it. And I know a lot of people are really eager and happy to make money, but listen, we make money in other ways, and money's not the underlying issue here for us. It truly, truly is about the patient and having cannabis be something that's going to help them in the future, whether it be with you know, cancer, whether it be with lupus, any of those type of ailments, diseases, chronic arthritis, back pain. We want to be able to really help people. And so by having those roadblocks as far as the growth and expansion, I mean, it's just been really tough just dealing with the county and the city and having them all on one page and getting those people together. I mean, it literally took us 3 months to get one permit because an old provision that was put in place by the county many, many years ago. So it kind of sucked, but at the same time, it really did help us in the long run. So we've been able to take our time, and that's the most important thing for me.
Quite an interesting process, and thanks for sharing that on a personal note. Now, what are learning lessons, if any, in the industry thus far that you could share, and as an overall businessman as well?
You know, this industry is new, and so there's something that's put out to us every day that becomes a challenge almost. And, you know, and it's not that they don't know what they're doing, and because there's really no way that's really right to us. When you speak, you have so many different opinions on how this thing should go and how, you know, the area that it should go in. And I just think it's every day I'm learning something new. I mean, literally every day we find out something new. Microbials, there's so many things to learn in this industry. And then, you know, that's what makes this industry, I think this is going to make this industry so great is that it's going to create a lot of opportunities in business for other people to open up and figure out, you know, how they can get in. It doesn't necessarily have to be specifically with the actual growing. I mean, there's CO2 involved. There's a lot of things that I think these other companies have gotten the boost out of just because of the production side of everything.
Today we are joined by Mr. Larry Smith, the Chief Executive Officer of G5 Cultivation, the first ever licensed cannabis cultivation in Las Vegas, Nevada, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, if you would, Larry, share one of your personal habits that contributes to your success? Certainly want to hear your take on this.
You know, for me, it's just one of my personal habits that I think that really, I think people really don't take advantage of is returning calls and handling business. Something just as simple as returning a call. You know, it's just something that's instilled in me that, you know, I don't like to see the missed call symbol on my phone. I don't like to have any messages that are not taken care of. I think that's just bad business. And even if you don't want to talk to those people, and you know, it's just something that you just have to take care of. I mean, you know, if they have your number, you know, I think it's important that you give them the respect and the dignity to call them back. I mean, I know a lot of people who kind of blow things off and they make them, you know, they make things bigger than they are. But, you know, for me on that other end, I never know when that next deal is coming. I never know when, you know, what that next call may be. You know, and I remember, you know, sharing a story with 50 Cent about the phone not ringing at all, you know. And so I think it's just a privilege that if someone's calling you to do business, I just think you give them the common courtesy to call back and handle things. You know, a lot of people, you know, sometimes I think we get to these, you know, big businessmen, and I think they think they're too busy or they're too big to deal with certain things. But for me, I don't look at it that way. I look at it those, like I said, if someone's calling me, I gave my number out, then there's one thing. And even if I don't want to deal with them or I don't have anything for them, you know, I think being honest and truthful and just telling someone, hey, I'm not interested at this time, this is something that I'm not dealing with. I mean, I think people at the end of the day really respect it. It's when you don't call them back, it causes the conflict. And you create enemies that way. And I don't think it's the right thing, though. I think it's always very beneficial. I think it's always, it takes a little bit more time. And I just feel like it's the right thing to do. I mean, that's one of the biggest things, the biggest habits, I think, is just making sure that I get the return calls. Sometimes it may take me a little longer, but I'm going to return that call and make sure that I'm good. I'm not going to call you 4 or 5 days later. I think that's rude in business. And I think that every good businessman should have that practice at least.
Definitely, most definitely, and good stuff there. Thanks for sharing that. Now, also looking at tools, what are your tools for business success?
You know, when I go out and I speak to the youth, I try to be very I'm very committed to the young urban Black youth of America. You know, because you know I'm an African American. I come from a community where you know business isn't always we're taught sports and whatnot. And I'm trying to change that mindset. But it's more of being honorable, doing the right things. I think sometimes people think that, you know, in business, you know, you have to be a savage or you have to be things. And I just think being honorable, I think your word means everything. I'm more of an old school businessman. I've done deals just on the handshake and it's worked out really fine for me. And then there's some deals I have to do in writing, but I think being honorable and keeping your word is like one of the biggest things for me in business. It just takes me so much more further. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I do it, you know, it just makes things a lot more easier for me. And I think it's one of the biggest things in business for me is just, you know, like I said, being honorable, telling the truth and going after things and not being around the bush, making sure that, you know, everything's in order. I mean, those are just the simple keys to success for me as far as business and knowing that I can under promise and over deliver is one of the things that, you know, I think is a big key to my success is, you know, not telling someone I'm going to do something that I really can't do. And, you know, being able to say, listen, I'm going to be able to take care of this and we're going to knock it out of the park and go from there.
Also, I'd be curious on this. If you would, tell a story of the biggest challenge that you have faced as an entrepreneur and how you overcame that challenge.
One of the biggest things for me is always capital, you know, is getting the capital raised to get things going for me, you know, especially in the cannabis side. You know, we don't have banking. So that's one of the biggest things for me is, you know, always getting capital and it's one of the, for me, I don't know. I just, capital is always the biggest thing for me. And now that, you know, we did everything pretty much financially ourselves. And that's been the thing for me as a young African-American entrepreneur is that knowing to take my time. And I think that's where the patience comes from for me is taking what I have. And rubbing those two nickels together and saying, you know what, I'm not going to get financed on this right away. Let me go ahead and take my time and figure out a different way or raising capital. And I've been able to do a pretty good job of that just because going back to being honorable, you know, it makes it a lot easier for the people that I know that I'm dealing with. It makes it easier for me to get capital that way. But getting money from the banks and whatnot for just any other business, for example, in my lean company, my first 2 years, I had over $1 million in sales, through the first year, and they still wouldn't give me the small business loan because they wanted off my personal. So it's always been kind of tough to do those things. So those are the toughest things for me, and I think it's for most any other small business when you're starting out is just raising the right capital. A lot of times, you know, when we started the cultivation, Sean was telling me how much he thought that I would need, and I just kind of laughed, and his number was like $400,000, and I laughed, and I was like, no, it can't be the way. So I made him times that number times three. And then double it up one more time, and that's what we would probably need. And so it's one of those things that, like, you know, I think people underestimate the value when they start a business of how much they need. And I always tell people, now, if you think that you're going to need $25,000, you might as well times that number times four and double it up. And that's truly what you're going to need to be in business.
Some really valuable information right there. Certainly appreciate that. Lastly, anyone, maybe a CEO, your dad or a friend or anyone that inspired you along the way and why, I'd love to hear your response to that.
Well, you know, I have two people there's a couple of people in my life. One was an attorney. His name was Steve Weiss. He passed away. Very brilliant man. I loved him to pieces. I mean, he took me to school when I felt like I was at Harvard. You know, he was an attorney. I got to sit in an office with him every day, and it did just a brilliant mind, and just made me think about things on a whole different level as far as a businessman. The other will be my grandmother, who passed away as well. And she was just she gave me that's what I described earlier as the honorable, you know, being honorable and having some integrity in what you do, and knowing that that I hustle for my last name, not my first. And I get that from Dame Dash, who's a mentor right now, who's been mentoring me and getting me going. Dame is, you know, one of the founders of Rockefeller Records back in the day. So and he's been, you know, teaching me a lot. You know, and I feel like as an entrepreneur I'm an apprentice of life, so I'm learning every day. I want to soak up as much as I can in business, because you never know. Every day in life, I learn something new about business, about people, about structure, about marketing. I learn every day. So it's one of those things that those three people have been very influential in my life. And you know, I've been very blessed to have those people in my life to really guide me and give me that structure.
Before you go, what is your motto to fellow entrepreneurs, or your quote?
You know, mine is very simple. I don't chase them. I replace them. In other words, I don't let anyone tell me what I can't do. You know, by the world, you know, the world is at our fingertips now. And so, you know, I've had people say, hey, you know, I you can't get this, and or you can't do this, or you can't do that. And I don't listen to that. I find I replace them. I find somebody who's going to get me that thing that I need. And it's one of those things that it's the World Wide Web. And I tell young men and women out there today that, you know, they have a distinct advantage over a gentleman like myself is, you know, when I was growing up, I didn't have the internet. You know, if I was going to hustle, I had to cut the grass on my block. I had to hustle on my block. And what happened is now these young men and women, they have the internet. They have the world at their fingertips. I mean, you know, my son is able to take a G5 hat and basically post it and sell it to someone in India. So it just makes things a lot more easier for these guys. And not saying that they don't have to put in the work, but, you know, I don't chase them. I replace them. So, you know, I don't let anyone tell me what to do as far as, you know, I can't do this. You know, there's always someone out there that has something that you want, that you may need, that's willing to sell. So don't let anybody tell you what you can't do. It's just that simple.
I specifically like that and really do appreciate all the details and information shared here today. A lot we can learn and put into practice and implement. So thanks so much. Where can listeners get all the details on G5 Cultivation, and how could also listeners be in touch?
So you can find us on Facebook at G5 Cultivation, and you can also find us on Instagram at G5 Cultivation. You know, we're there. We're building our followers. We hope that if you do consume, you know, recreational or medicinal, that when you come to Vegas, that you check us out. And we'll be in select dispensaries coming up here pretty soon. And I want to thank you again for having me on my show. It's a great platform for us. Thank you so much.
And Larry, thank you so much. And really, I've appreciated your time and your visit with us here today on Enterprise Radio. Continued success. And again, thanks for your time.
Okay, you too. Thank you. Have a great day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Larry Smith, the Chief Executive Officer of G5 Cultivation, the first ever licensed cannabis cultivation in Las Vegas, Nevada. And for more information, simply visit G5Cultivation.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.